That is that's the original version of the Crontage.
It was a lazy move by Will.
No, I think you need to mix it up every once in a while.
He was supposed to put new stuff in there. He just went straight back to the old stuff.
Just waiting for the
gutless. Gutless, weak, lazy, mailing it in, Bush League, all the comments apply to you and your performance. To start this, 1:30.
It's only 1:36. We've been way later than this before.
Way later. And I believe you were called out for that, too.
Yeah.
In the montage, which we will never, ever erase.
I deserved it.
Yeah.
I deserved it. How are you, buddy?
I'm good.
I'm looking very dapper.
Of course I am.
It's almost the time you called him out in one of his questions earlier in the year. This is not in the montage.
That's right.
Well, you know, what you mean Eddie's getting
sorry,
the start.
Eddie Lack getting the start.
Hey, buddy.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, real smart guy.
To do your job for you, but I'll try and pick up slack here.
Yep, deserved that one, too. That couldn't have been from this season. That would have been last
That's
season.
That's way old, yeah.
Eddie
yeah.
Lack.
Wow, you had that on cue, too? How many buttons you got over there? Four?
Eddie Lack. That's yeah. right. I forgot he played for the Flames. He had a lot of tattoos.
He is a jock sniffer, and he goes to every single.
See Drake wearing a Leafs jersey?
Yeah, and now they're not playing hockey anymore.
Jock sniffer. I can't believe that you said that about him.
So good.
Terrible. Good old Canadian recording artist, Drake.
Yeah. How are you, Kron?
I'm fantastic. Yeah. How are you? Did you turn my mic off, or is it still on?
No, you're on. You're
okay,
on. You see that red, that red
I know.
Ring? That means you're
I know.
On.
I'm having one of those days where things aren't working for me. And
stunner.
Yeah. But you know, if there's anything that you can say about me, is that the fact that I can figure it out eventually.
That's right. You do get there.
You
right?
get there at some point.
Like a bumblebee. They're not supposed to be able to fly, but they do. And that's kind of how I live my life.
Kind of like the Carolina Hurricanes. They finally figured it out, and they finally have gotten back to the playoffs, and now they also have won a playoff series. And had you told me that it would be with Peter Mrazek as their goalie, I would not have believed you.
No, neither I. I'm shocked, to be honest with you. I think Rod Brindamore's done a tremendous job on the bench. I think Justin Williams has been an exceptional piece to be the captain of that hockey club. A lot of young players on that team, even Jordan Staal, right? Guys that have been around that can pull the rope and a calming influence on a lot of young players. Mrazek, he's been through a few teams here in his short NHL career. It's good for him to see him get some success. Although his numbers aren't spectacular in the first round, it doesn't matter. He won a game seven, and it's about wins right now. It's not about numbers. And he's made timely saves. He's letting some soft goals, but he's come up big when his team's needed him the most. So I'm shocked. I didn't think they were going to do it. I figured Washington was going to take it in game seven. They'd been dominant on home ice all series long. You know, they won that game two in overtime, but still they just looked like they dominated most of that series on home ice. We're a different team in Carolina. But Mrazek stood tall. He didn't back down. Didn't look like he was nervous or panicked. He just played his game, and when they needed him the most, he was there.
So they get set to take on the New York Islanders in round number two. You've got Mrazek, who just won a playoff series, which I never would have seen coming. And then you've got Robin Lehner, who is part of a four-game sweep and a big part of a four-game sweep for the Islanders over the Pittsburgh Penguins. And we went into this series, you were not feeling all that good about how Lehner was going to do. Now that you've seen him put together that, how are you feeling about Robin Lehner?
Well, I thought he was going to fall flat in his face, and that was just me, you know. I was wrong on that one so far anyway. He's played four games, but the way he's played those four games has been important for me in evaluating how the first round has gone for him and the New York Islanders. He's been such a calming influence back there. He's a big body. He doesn't need to move much. He plays the percentages very well, keeps himself upright. He's not overly flexible, but he doesn't need to be. He covers low. He just anticipates the game well against a good Pittsburgh team that's got a lot of weapons. And when Pittsburgh was you know, putting the Islanders' flame or feet to the fire there, Lehner was standing tall. He was making huge saves on penalty kills. And in key moments of the games, he was their calmest player. He was their most in control player. He really took charge. I'm literally blown away, because normally he's a hothead. He's an emotional character. In years past, he's been up and down, and you know, he would get rattled very easily. This season, we really haven't seen that from him. There's a reason why he's nominated for a Vezina Trophy this season. He's just done everything the opposite of what he did before. I don't know, preparation. I know we talked about him kind of going through some mental struggles, and I think probably he feels a lot more comfortable in his own skin, a lot more confident in his ability to just go out there and do what he needs to do, which
right.
is a big thing. As an athlete, and especially as a goaltender, it takes you some time to get comfortable, because everybody has an input as to what you should do to be better. Some guys have a good glove hand. Some guys are really good low. Some guys, they have specialties that they're better at. Other goaltenders then. But at the end of the day, you got to incorporate a bunch of stuff, and you got to be comfortable with what you bring to the table. And once you can kind of finally get to that level, which looks like Lehner is, he's identified himself as Robin Leonard, not still kind of watching everybody. It's not to say he's stopping to stop learning, but he's really just looks comfortable being Robin Leonard.
What about the series between Columbus and Boston? You've got Tuukka Rask, who's been this deep before. He's been to Stanley Cup final. Like, Rask knows what he's doing. He's been in this spot before. Uncharted territory for Columbus, uncharted territory for Sergei Bobrovsky as they get set to open up round two tonight. What do you see in that series, specifically in net, when it comes to Boston and Columbus?
Well, I think Bobrovsky got over a major hurdle in round one to be able to get past just round one, period. The last season, he didn't play very well. Every time he's been in the playoffs, he's underperformed. He hasn't been great. He hasn't been a difference maker. And he hasn't stolen any games. This season, you know what? The turning point for me was in the second period against Lightning of the first game, where he stopped that breakaway. And from then on, it just seems like he just kind of thought, okay, now I'm involved and I'm in this series. And he never looked back since. I mean, Columbus played a tremendous first round. They didn't respect the Tampa Bay Lightning for 1 second. They gave him no time, gave him no space, were in their face nonstop, and treated them like a peewee hockey team, which is why I liked watching, because Tampa Bay looked flustered. They looked frustrated when you got a guy like Nikita Kucherov coming in and taking just stupid penalties and getting suspended. You know that you've got to them. You've got them by the throat, and just to keep pushing. So Bobrovsky, I think he's kind of got over that hump where now he's going to play here in the second round. He's going against Tuukka Rask, who, you know, his emotions get the better of him sometime. I think it was game six or game five where, you know, he was being pushed around in the net a little bit, and he was just kind of sitting out to the left of his goalpost, just kind of hanging out while the play was going on. And he can pout sometimes. He can get down on everybody else around him. He's an incredibly fired up goaltender, obviously playing behind Tim Thomas for all those years. But when he really dials it in, when he really slows it down for himself, he's one of the best goaltenders in the league. Yeah. And they need him to be on, because this Columbus team, for finishing eighth in the East, everybody knows they're a better hockey club than that. And all they needed to do, because they sold the farm to get into the playoffs, they got in, and now they're actually playing very, very well. So Boston's going to have a huge test for them. It's going to come down to goaltending once again. They're going to need Rask to be even better than he was in the first round. I thought Rask was good in the first round. He was up and down, a little inconsistent, but this series he's going to need to be a hell of a lot better.
He's Brent Cronin. He's our NHL goaltending analyst in studio on the Steinberg Show this afternoon. What about, you were really impressed as San Jose gets set to open up their series with Colorado tonight. You were really impressed with the work of Martin Jones and, sorry, they started off tomorrow, by the way, but the work of Martin Jones and how he was able to, after a really poor start to that series, game six, game seven, really dug in and made sure he gave his team an opportunity to win.
Yeah, and just even a poor season, he wasn't great. San Jose scores a lot of goals. I think they scored third most in the league, or tied with second with Calgary. And they win by offense. And they don't really play a great team defense. They have Brent Burns and Carlson in the back end, too, that really don't think much of defense. Their best defense is when they have the puck, they're in possession of the puck, and they're pushing it forward. So sometimes they don't give up a lot of shots. But when they do give up shots, it's quality chances. So your goaltender can't be your weakest link in a system like that. And Martin Jones was all season long. The Sharks had to obviously score a lot more goals to win games this season. And in the playoffs, too, a horrible start, minus game one. And Martin Jones just looked terrible. He looked out of sorts. If you got that early goal on him, it seemed like he would fall apart. He was out of position. He just was chasing the puck for those three games when Vegas went up 3-1. And then even in game five, I just, once they were on the brink of elimination, it seems like he settled down a lot more. And he goes out there and plays a solid game. San Jose wins 5-2. Game six is where he really shined. He needed, that T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas has been just a hell for him to play there. He's been getting lit up here left, right, and center. And he dug in, and that was just a huge character win for him. It's a huge confidence booster. And just mentally, to be able to play well in a building where you're not normally very good in, players know buildings that they like, and goaltending is no different. You walk into certain buildings, even if you don't feel good, and you're just like, I know this building. I feel great in this building. I can compete. That was a building for him that he feels terrible in. And he went out and he made 58 saves. And you know what, just for a point of comparison too, I know Mike Smith did 58 or 56 shots in one game, just three periods. But you just notice a difference too in a 56 or 52 save performance from Mike Smith compared to Martin Jones. Now they're different goaltenders, but Martin Jones is a lot more structured goaltender. He's a lot more calm. He plays the angles. He gives himself a chance to stop. He just looks a lot more easy. When you see him in the second overtime, he still looked like he could have played 10 more periods. He just looked in control. So that's a very calming influence with your players. When you look back at your goaltender and fighting for ice, and they're dog tired, and they can't back check anymore, and they're just sucking air on the bench, and everybody's just praying for a goal. And then Hurdle gets just an absolute junk goal on Fleury. Now, there was a lot that went on there where Hurdle couldn't do the follow-through because he was slashed, so he kind of missed his shot there a little bit, but Fleury way overplayed it. He pushed away from the puck because he was trying to shoot blocker, so he was just trying to slide into it, but it basically went in the dead center of the net, and that's obviously a puck that Fleury has to have. He only had 26 shots to that point, so he was probably going a bit stir-crazy too, not being tested as much as Jones was at the other end. But and then Game 7 comes in and, you know, plays great again.
He even let in a bad goal.
That third goal
the Pacioretty goal was brutal.
I was about to turn it off. You know, after that third goal, I'm like, oh my God. Okay, well, this is done. You know, he did his best, but this is a garbage goal, and that's going to break the back of the San Jose Sharks. And then they get four power play goals and win it in overtime. And you're like, holy cow. What a game. It was crazy. But
so are you, okay, what is the bigger culprit? The bad call that made it a major, or the fact that the Vegas Golden Knights allowed four power play goals on the same power play?
Well, that is the second one, but Vegas had three chances to eliminate them too, right?
That's true.
I mean, how many chances do you want to get to put a team out? They could have beat them in Game 6 in Vegas too, and they, you know what? It's just that you can pin it on that penalty if you want, but it's a very weak-minded play because there's a lot of things that happen throughout hockey games, and they really dwelled. And I thought that Gallant would call a timeout after the second.
Me too.
And he didn't. And you know, if Vegas wins the faceoff, if the first faceoff in their zone, you know, they shoot it down the ice. I mean, you can go ifs and buts and coulds and woulds, just little things like that. But it just, you could just see even Fleury's body language too. He's one of those goaltenders that gets really, really high when things are going really good. You know, he's pretending to fight guys. He, you know, when he came down, skated down, I mean, it's a joke of a move, but he's always laughing and with his buddies, and you know, he's just doing stupid things. Like, I know there was a play around the net where one of the Sharks had lost his helmet, and he takes it and he shoots it to the corner, and like, you know, he just. Just when things are going well, he gets that arrogance, that cockiness.
Were
you
giving wet willy to Wheeler?
Yeah, I mean, that was dumb too. I wanted to jump through the TV and just punch punch him right in the teeth. Like, that was just such, you know what? And when things are going great, that's what he is. That's, you know, he's on when that happens. But then the flip side goes where all of a sudden, you know what? Hey, you know what? The shadow of his poor mental weakness sometimes kind of creeps in. And that Game 6 overtime goal just broke him too. I thought he played well in Game 7. Like, he made some good saves, but. But when it rained, it poured, and you could just see him. He was getting down on himself. You could see he had a lot of negative tension in his body, and you know what? Now the Sharks are moving on.
So they move on. Martin Jones seems like maybe he's figured it out a little bit. He's going up against a guy. Philip Grubauer was not overly tested in that series against the Flames, but he was there to make every big stop. And I think any of the uncertainty for him after last year getting pulled after two games in Washington, I wonder how much that's evaporated now, because he looked really good in that series against the Flames.
Well, that's what I was going to go to with this, right? He got a chance to start off the Capitals playoff run last season and didn't get to go back in for Game 3, and you never saw the net since. So that kind of sits in the back of your mind. Although they did win the Stanley Cup and his name is on the cup, it still kind of, as a backup goaltender, would piss you off a little bit to realize, hey, I had a chance here to kind of even just like individually cement a bit more confidence around the league that I can do this, and he didn't. Now this season, I thought that would be in the back of his mind. I thought he would kind of, I don't know, fall apart might be a poor word, but he would just kind of be the same old Grubauer. And turns out he looked calm. He looked relaxed. He was smiling there. He didn't have a cockiness to him, but he just had a very confident aura around him. You know, when the Flames did get some chances and they would pour it on it, you know, here and there in spurts, he was always there to slow things down, and that's what the Avalanche needed. And you know, two big saves in overtime in Game 2 on Frolik, and then in Game 4, was it Backlund or was it Tkachuk there where he got the
Backlund, where he, the little
right.
toe save?
Yeah, right. And those are two saves that basically changed the momentum of the series. Where if he lets those in, Calgary's playing San Jose in the second round, and they're gaining momentum. So I was just really impressed with his demeanor. Not so much, you know, he didn't give out bad rebounds. I thought he played the puck well. Didn't have to play it much, but it was just simply go and stop the puck, make one pass, get back in the net. He stayed within the limits of what Grubauer is as a goaltender. He didn't try to do too much. He just did what he could. He let in some weak goals, but he always bounced back. He didn't get rattled, and that goes a long way for a young team too, trying to figure themselves out. If your goaltender can bounce back after a bad goal here or there, or just be there when your team needs them, it really improves the confidence of the team overall.
Final thought, Ben Bishop was great for the Stars in that first round. He goes up against Jordan Binnington, who's been the story of basically the calendar year 2019 in net. Bishop, Binnington, St. Louis, Dallas starts tonight.
Yeah, you know, Binnington's got that cockiness to him, and actually, I do like it. It's not the edge where, that Connor Hellebuck has, where borderlines just kind of makes you upset. He's got that quiet confidence. You know, he had that one poor game in St. Louis. I think it was game
number three, I believe.
Yeah,
six,
right.
3.
Yeah, where, you know, he just wasn't firing on all cylinders, but he's bounced right back and been a dominant player for the team. I've really enjoyed watching him as he's gone through this season here, how well he's played, how confident he looks, and how much he looks like he belongs. He looks like he's been in the league for 3 or 4 years by the way he's playing. And it's really nice to see. I'm still cheering for the Dallas Stars. Ben Bishop, I mean, the only goaltender in the league that is having missing teeth. I mean, you see him do the interview after the game, and he's got a tooth missing, and you're like, what's going on here? But he's got a tremendous ability to really slow things down. He plays the puck extremely well, covers low well.
I still think he's the best puck-playing goaltender
smartest.
In the league.
He's, yeah. He's the smartest, for sure. He does a lot for that team that you don't even notice. And he doesn't panic. I mean, things get out of control. Nashville took it to him for a lot of games in Nashville early on, where they had some great scoring chances, and he was there. You know, aside from game, I think it was game 3 in Dallas, where he let in some chintzy goals. He's been rock solid for them, and he's stolen them a few games. And even in that game 6, going into overtime, there, the comments he had after the game was, "We did not want to go back to Nashville," and he just dug in, and he was unbeatable. Even when the pucks go in, it looks like it's an accident. He's always in such a good position. He's such a big body, and he really makes life easy for the players in front of him.
All right, you can leave now.
Going to get a haircut.
You need it. That thing is...
It's awful.
That's a
terrible loaf, yep. Isn't it?
Kind of like the faux hawk.
But you got
the
curly
top.
Hair, though, a little bit. You got a few curls in there. That's okay.
You know what, though, Connor? Yours is not as bad as that. Pinder's hair is offside. That...
I've always wanted long hair, but it just turns like... to be like a feathered type 1970s.
You know that I had long
look,
hair like all through
good.
Junior high. Like I had it right down.
Yeah, you look like
ears.
You would. You were just, yeah, greasy.
And it puffed out.
Yeah.
It's just not a good look.
Yeah.
Time to go, Cron.
All right, boys.